Hi, I'm Laura.
Hey, I'm Stefan, and you're listening to Attributed, a podcast library by DreamData.
The purpose of it is to store and share all the knowledge that we have gathered across DreamData employees through our LinkedIn Lives, podcasts, and webinars.
The typical topics you'll find here can be stuff like marketing,
sales,
B2B ads,
operations,
social selling maybe.
Hello, everyone. Today I have with me Emily, and we will be talking about everything around physical events, ROI, how to measure success, how to plan, the criteria. So it's going to be a fun conversation, but I'll give the floor to Emily to kind of say hi, introduce yourself. I'm pretty sure a lot of people will recognize you from the chat, but...
Or from my hat.
Or from your hat, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
hi, yourself, Emily. Yeah.
I am Emily, and I'm the Vice President of Marketing at Unium. I have been with Unium for 3.5 years. I started as the first marketing employee when we were a small company. And what more? I have been in the B2B sales and marketing space for about 15 years, and the past 8 years within SaaS and the software companies. And of course, the topic for today is a big passion for me. I actually started my career when I graduated from university in a lead generation company where the business platform was events. So that's why this is like a topic for me.
Yeah, so you have a lot of knowledge to share with us today. And maybe we can start off, I mean, I've prepped a couple of questions for today's session, mostly focusing on before the event actually happens, and then maybe a couple of insights into when the event is actually happening and then after the event. But how about we start by you maybe sharing a little bit of more insights into how do you actually plan? How do you plan a strategy for events? 2024 is coming and the event season is going to start very soon. So I'm pretty sure a lot of people are curious.
Yes, of course. First of all, as Unium, we only target B2B SaaS companies. So basically, that's our space. So when looking into events, we know there are a lot of events within SaaS. And of course, it's first of all about what kind of markets, like if it's a more established market for us, let's say Nordic, then it's a mix of lead generation and brand awareness. If it's a more not that mature market, then of course more about lead generation. But I should say that it should always be about lead generation if I'm paying a sponsorship. If we are going there as attendees, it could be something else. But when it's about a bigger cost, then we look at how can this generate leads in terms of like both company-wise, but also persona-wise, of course, who is going to be there.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned like different types of events where you sponsor, where you attend. Like, how do you choose which events to actually spend the bucket on, or and which events are just for attending as Unium employees?
I think it's a mix of the cost of the sponsorship versus the cost of the ticket, but also, of course, looking into the quality, saying that, okay, how many CXOs are actually there? Because we know that a lot of commercial, like sales and marketing people normally attend, but we want to meet the one with the biggest wallet. And then, of course, depending on which country, which market, but also I'm looking into what's the ratio between number of delegates and number of partners. Let's say it's a SaaS event where we see 500 delegates, but we have 40 partners. And another one, we have 1,000 delegates and 40 partners, because we know that people go there for the content, for the networking, not mainly for the sponsors. So, of course, we want to have a good ratio to be able to reach the goals if it's a paid sponsor package.
Yeah. And you mentioned like goals and you have a budget and so on. What kind of objectives do you put in your planning session? Like, I'm pretty sure you're already working on your plan for 2024. Like, what are the key metrics or objectives that you set as physical event strategy or like planning ahead, basically?
If looking for the on the events that we are sponsoring, as it is a bigger cost and also time, of course, planning. Then we start like 6 to 4 months prior the event take place, so we can really benefit from everything. We always assign a project group. We consist of both marketing and sales. Of course, marketing do most of the work, but sales need to be there from the planning, so they know actually what happens in the marketing channels also. Then we meet on a regular basis, depending on the needs, and we always have goals on both pre-booked meetings for sales that's clearly communicated early in the process, long before the meeting app opens. So then it's about reaching out to people, of course. We always have goals on LinkedIn posts for each rep, both what they should do on LinkedIn before the event, but also on site. We also have goals on new contacts created on site within the ICP, because we know that we can meet also pen collectors. We don't need the pen collectors. They don't have any money. We also have goals actually on social mentions, meaning that if another company at the event or a person at the event are tagging Union LinkedIn page or Union people there, then we count them. So that we also have goal for each event. And then, of course, it's about following up afterwards. It's about deals in pipe and deals that we are closing.
That's really interesting. I really like the fact that you're involving sales in the process, because usually, like, when we think about physical events, we think about marketing teams. We never think about sales, but having the meetings pre-booked, but also like working on branding and demand gen metrics like social mentions, I think it's really brilliant, and in a sense that would actually show the ROI of physical events better.
Yeah, and I also think that, like, my aim is always then when we enter the event, when we are on site, everyone should know exactly what's required, our goals are, so we can spend the time on doing what we have invested in and not being like, yeah, I don't know where to go and where is the booth and when should I be where? It's like, these are the things that should be 100% clear if you take your time going to an event.
Yeah, and it's a targeted team that you have, right? Like, you select a committee and that's the one responsible for each event.
Yeah, exactly. As we work in hubs, so it depends on which country. So then we take BDRs or sales or a mix of it, depending on which country. And if it's global then or European, then we see a bit. But normally it's always at least one person from marketing. And then depending on size, several person from sales and business development.
Yeah, I really like the synergy that you have between marketing and sales and having them work as a team in the actual event. And speaking about that, like, when you're actually in the event, I think it's very challenging to engage the audience or like keep everyone entertained or attract them to your booth if you have a booth. And I had experienced a Union booth in Sassiest, but I'll let you maybe give an idea about what are kind of the creative ways or innovative ways that you would do to kind of attract audience, but most importantly, keep them engaged with your
product. Some years ago, I said, I'm not a creative person. I just know how to measure and plan things, but I will take that back because I have been very creative the past years, actually. No, but we were the first sponsor ever to Sassiest. And I brought the soft ice cream machine on site. And it has been a bit like we need to have it every time because people are like, okay, it's Union and the ice cream machine. And it actually works really well also because when you're preparing the ice cream, it takes about 30 seconds. And then you can do your elevator pitch. People will remember you, but you also have the time to talk to them while they're waiting for the ice cream. So that's, of course, one thing. And then these hats, I created them of the summer. So first time we used them was actually in Suster in San Francisco. And then they have been with us now for autumn. We will also have them during spring. And this is like, it's very cheap swag, but it's great.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I've met your team in Tech Barbecue when they came to Copenhagen and I could recognize them instantly with the...
Yeah, and that's also a strategy. I think I'm really happy when I hear about our team when they are going somewhere. If I'm not there, it's like, yeah, I met your team. They have the hat. They are so friendly, they are so alert. And these things are also things that we are training, of course, because many people starting in Corona, they don't have experience going to physical events. So it's one thing talking to a computer and another thing to meet people in person.
Yeah, I think that's also why we're focusing, us as Dream Data, we're focusing on creating really nice and personal experiences with our audience, regardless of the person. We haven't sponsored events ourselves, but we're planning to. But the few events that we attended, we try to kind of create that personal touch where we have a conversation. And it's like, it's okay if it's awkward. I mean, we haven't been talking to real people in for years because of COVID. So it's okay to be kind of a human and personal a little bit.
Well, I also think that when you are a bit of an underdog, it's not that we have a very big brand and a lot. It's like, can always try things. People will remember you. It's another thing if you are a very big company, then maybe you need to be more consistent. But it's like, I'd rather try, and it's a bit too much than not trying.
Yeah. I mean, and the right ones will stick.
Yeah.
But Emily, like, we spoke about preparing before the event. We spoke about the actual event. And I think the most important part is after the event. You're spending a lot of money, a lot of resources, a lot of time from your team. How do you actually measure the success of an event?
As we have very clear goals, I don't think it's that hard. But of course, it's hard to do the work. That's the thing. You need to do it also. No, but first of all, we always have internal evaluation of the sponsorship event itself, because I also think that if you're not satisfied or if you're thinking of doing it next year again, you need to provide that information quite soon to the event organizer, because otherwise you won't remember it. So that's, of course, one part. But then we also have around 1 week or maybe 2 weeks, depends on the size of the event, we have an internal evaluation and follow-up meeting, which means that everyone should have put into a Google Sheet all valuable contacts, meaning the contacts that are within ICP and within ICP persona, where they think this will be something. It will be a follow-up meeting if we're letting you know them, or it will be like demo or something that is valuable. Then we go everything through, because I always tell the team that I want them to follow up within 48 hours. I know that's hard, but that's if you really want to get return on investment, but at least within 1 week. And then we talk about, okay, what's the status with follow-up meetings, booked meetings, like for all the people that they have been in contact with.
Yeah.
Then we count them. And then, of course, also the question of deals. We both have short term, meaning that, let's say, we have quite long sales cycle, so it's not that I expect a deal the week after. But let's say if we go to an event in October, then maybe we have a goal that we should close one deal before end of the year. And then we have a longer term that we should have X number of deals in pipeline before end of the year. So that's like the first follow-up. And then we also count all social mentions. So then I go through like, okay, where is Union mentioned? Where are they mentioning me and other people there? And then we count this and see what's the target is, because that's like really huge impression wise. And then normally we also have a second follow-up meeting when we see that deals are coming.
Yeah, that's great. I really like the fact that you're not just looking at, okay, badges, number of badges scanned or number of prospects that we generated. You're actually looking beyond in terms of opportunity.
We normally don't use the scanning machine, actually. We have tried, but I rather use the LinkedIn scanning, because then I can easily sort on it. And I also tell the team that, like, it's good that you make connection with, like, people in the SaaS space, but the ones to go into the follow-up sheets are the ones that you believe in.
Yeah, that you're actually confident that you had a good conversation and that they're moving forward. And these goals, like you're mentioning opportunities and deals, they're usually sales metrics. And you mentioned that you have like a committee and you have a specific team for each of them. Do you have like common goals between sales and marketing, or is it two separate goals that you have?
We have common goals in that sense that we have it on company level, like total ACV. But when looking at marketing and sales targets, we don't have common goals in that sense more than when it's project-based. But let's say we close a deal from where original source is an event, then it's of course the salesperson's deal, but it will be counted as first touch marketing.
Yes.
Then of course this goes together.
Yeah. It's a pure marketing and sales alignment. And I mean, it's an oiled machine, and it should be that way, and to make those events or those committees actually deliver nice results.
Yeah, and also the fact that we need to be able to measure it on marketing, because otherwise I cannot invest next year. It's like, if we don't close deals, if that's a goal, then of course we need to go. And also that's why, like, when you're rebooking for an event, then you have quite long sales cycle. It's hard for me to say the week after the event if this will be possible next year. We need to see results. And then, of course, if sales wants to go there, they need to bring in the results.
For sure, for sure. I was just about to ask, like, how do you plan? For example, if you went to an event, or like you went to 3-4 events this year, they've all been successful, but you have budget constraints next year, or you actually have more budget. How do you actually choose which events to go to?
That's quite tricky. I want to evaluate them all, but I understand I cannot go 1 year to each event. And also now when we see so many, but I think it depending a bit of where we are in the market, how many customers we have in each country. Like in Nordic, we go to SaaS now more for like customer loyalty, not as much as new logo, but also where we are focusing. Like if it's UK, if it's Germany, then maybe we put more money in there for new customer acquisition. But it's hard to really know the quality because you don't know exactly who are going to be there. But we also try to at least test something new every year when it comes to sponsorship. But it's hard because, for instance, in October, November, there are so many. And I think like this autumn, we have actually attended too many events to be able to deliver what I want us to deliver. Mm-hmm. That's also learning, like, okay,
it's also a challenge. Yeah,
do it very good and to be everywhere.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. I mean, you mentioned like there's plenty of events, especially in the SaaS industry, so you have to kind of be really smart in choosing the right ones where your ICP actually is. In that sense. But you also mentioned that some events can be for lead generation, for new logos. Some events can be for customer loyalty or customer success. How do you see events or going to or sponsoring events fitting in your whole marketing strategy or your whole business goals as Unium?
I see it as part of branding, of course. And I think that as the SaaS community is that strong, community and events are a bit going hand in hand. And you can go like every week to something if you have the time. So I think now for us, it's about mapping out like, okay, is it in the Nordic? Then what will be the benefit there? If it's in the US, yeah, we are totally new there. Then it's another thing. And of course, events always take more time than you think. So it's really about attending the right ones. But like when we came to SaaS this year, I was surprised compared to last year, because we are a well-known brand in the Nordics. And I didn't realize that, even though we have many customers, because it was like, oh, I know everyone. They know me. And the year before, it was more about let's hunt after new customers. So it's really also good to get that proof for yourself. Like, okay, this is working. This has happened during 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, it's impressive to see, because sometimes we're so caught up in what we're doing that we actually don't see how we grew as companies. And I think it's a great reminder to actually see, you look around, and same for us as Dream Data. We went SaaS the first year. We were just like no booth, roaming around, getting to know people. Second year, like everyone knows Dream Data. So
it's that's also like now when we came from SaaStock, we also organized a side event there, but also we got so many social mentions, like it was 6 times what we usually get. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's like, okay, people are recognized, or they like us at least.
No, that's great. And speaking of side events, that's also a sort of event planning that is not quite event planning, because, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people know this, so side events is basically not going to the actual conference, but actually organizing something either before or at night or the day after. And we recently in California, we organized the side event together.
Yeah.
Have you had any strategies in that? Because we're still experimenting ourselves, but have you thought about it? How do you think? Have you assessed it?
Normally what we do is we have a bit like same strategy or lighter strategy compared to a sponsorship. Mm-hmm. But we still make a list like, okay, instead of booking meetings, it's about sales and marketing, reaching out to the prospects or the customers. But as it is quite heavily also reaching out to everyone, we of course use social media, email marketing, and then it's always good to have people there. I think it's quite hard to like, okay, we should only target our persona because then we will end up with the fewer people there. So I think that's something I more do with my left hand and use my network and then bring people on the day, because it's more about, yeah, maybe 100 people will sign up, but 40% will drop off. We know that. That's how it is when it's like not committed in that sense. But we have both an invitation process and a recommit process for the ones that we really want to see there.
Yeah. I mean, for us, we also do it, like you said, like very low maintenance project, but we have seen a great success with it because we have tried to invite customers, people that are on our free plan, potential, and then we actually get together and talk. We don't have to pitch Dream Data. So, and that was, we didn't realize it at the beginning, but then we were like, okay, it's actually not a bad idea to it.
No, and also about the possibility to create content. We hosted a side event in Malmö, and as we had quite many customers there at Sasius, we got the possibility to talk to a customer, take a photo, use it on LinkedIn. That's the best social proof you can get. It's hundreds of hours of content creation in-house.
Yeah, and you're on the spot and people are so open to, because I think the side events are more informal. It's kind of outside of work. You're there for some drinks, for some fun. And people are just like super open to have conversations. So I really like the side events part of it.
Yeah, me too.
Emily, is there anything else you want to share, like tricks and tips, things that you learned the hard way, maybe that you don't want people to do?
We think that do the pre-work and do the follow-up work if you're going to events, because the event itself, it won't happen if you don't do these two parts. And sometimes it is hard to, like, the day after the event start to call or email or LinkedIn people, but it will pay off if you do it, because that's the thing with the event, that you need to be consistent.
Yeah. And speaking of that, is it only your sales team that does the follow-up, or do you actually, as a marketing department, have, I don't know, maybe like emailing lists, or do you support in the follow-up process?
We have both the BDR and sales, but it depends a bit on the relationship. Like the hottest ones that they are already in contact with, of course, they should follow up. But we talk about it. It's not that we automatically put an email marketing campaign, because I think it's about the relationship.
Yeah, it's very important to build that relationship. And I mean, BDRs and SDRs are on the floor. They kind of talk and go around. So it's very important. But we also see that when marketing supports in that sense, I'm a salesperson. So I always appreciate if marketing does that push with, for example, retargeting campaigns or having the emailing list, following up after I don't know how many months to see if that deal is actually moving forward or not. Well, thank you so much, Emily, for your time. It's been a real pleasure to have you today. Speak to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We hope you like listening to us. Subscribe to our podcast and the ones that we have been guests on.
And if you have any feedback for us, just do let us know. And should there be a guest that you think we should be talking to, then like pitch us.
We're looking forward to seeing you.